Stay calm, don't panic. You got this.
Let's say it that way. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is week number 2, and we have the opportunity to interview Ryan Young about student athletes, about kind of how do we work with teenagers in the athletic world.
So we're really excited to have Ryan Young as our expert for today. Not only did he play college football at Kansas State University, and you'll hear him talk a lot about that in his interview, but he actually also played in the NFL. So National Football League for the New York Jets, for the Houston Texans, and he ended his career as a Dallas Cowboy, us being from Texas and Dallas area, we're big fans of Ryan Young, and he brings a lot of expertise, not only from being a professional athlete and what all that comes along with that, but now he works for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and works with teams, works with other character coaches, and is just really in the middle of what teenage athletics look like. And as a parent, how can we equip them? As helpers, what can we do to make them as successful as possible, but not only in athletics, but in life in general? So we're excited that he's with us today.
Yeah, and I think that so many people who help teenagers need to have this conversation anyways, because athletics are one of those things that can greatly help, but can greatly hurt as well if it's if it's out of check. So definitely check out the interview and then check out afterwards. Carly and I have a couple closing thoughts based upon our conversation with Ryan. We are sponsored by LCU this entire year, so check out their promo right after the interview. And also, for this next month, we're sponsored by Centerpiece, the Centerpiece Conference, hosted by Sally Gary. If you heard our interview last season with Sally, she talked with us about homosexuality, working with students who are gay, and had this fantastic conversation. And ever since, we've been best buddies. It's been awesome. but Sally is a really great friend of the Teen Lifelines, and we're really glad to have her with us. But we are, Carly and I will be recording a couple podcasts at her conference next month, and we wanted to let you know about this conference. It's a conference that helps to better the conversation between the local church and the gay community. It's called the E3 Conference. It's October 27th through 29th, and you can find out more information on this at centerpiece.net/register, and you can register for that event and find out more about that. So definitely check that out.
So check out this interview with Ryan Young.
Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Hey guys, welcome to the Don't Panic podcast. We have Ryan Young, who's with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, works with the character coaching program, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about that as a part of the interview. But really glad you're here, part of our podcast. Thanks for being here, man. Tell us a little bit about your background in athletics, kind of your kind of what brought you here to us today.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me here. I'm excited to join you guys today. But my athletic career, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I played high school sports only, basketball, football, and track and field. And football was where I really made my mark athletically. Earned a scholarship to play at Kansas State University, graduated from Kansas State, and was drafted into the NFL by the New York Jets, the Houston Texans, and then I finished my career with the Dallas Cowboys. And after bouncing around through a few different careers post retirement, I ran into Fellowship of Christian Athletes and currently serve here in Northeast Tarrant County as the liaison to character coaches. So,
gotcha. So what did you play in NFL position?
I played offensive line, so I played guard and tackle.
So, for our listeners, Ryan's a big dude.
Yeah, he is.
I figure all NFL athletes are big. I always wanted to, you know, I don't want to assume a position he played.
Okay, so Ryan, you've talked about your professional career, but tell us a little bit about what it was like to be a student athlete as a teenager. How did it help you? What was that experience like for you?
Well, I grew up in a unique community in St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up in the inner city, and so there was a lot of gangs and violence where I grew up. And so my parents kept me focused on sports. And once I realized that I could be competitive at sports, it really took away that idle time. So I was either in church or I was on some sort of in some sort of sporting activity, and it kept me out of trouble, and it really allowed me to tap into the instincts that I had as a young man just to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge, huge part in gaining confidence throughout high school in my teenage years, and really helped drive me into manhood in a healthy way.
So what are some of the life lessons you learned as a student athlete during that time?
You know, sports taught me, I talk to kids a lot nowadays about social contracts, and sports taught me how to engage in social contracts in a healthy manner. You know, you think about marriage and you think about life in general. It's a series of social contracts. And, you know, at some point in life, hopefully you marry and you serve as a husband or a wife. And, it's a contract where you have to be accountable. You have to be a servant leader or at least have a heart of servanthood. You have to sacrifice for others, and sports really allows you to tap into those types of contracts at a very young age. And you know, they help train you to essentially be, especially with men, essentially be future husbands and leaders in our community, in our world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as you work with student athletes now, do you see a difference in the environment they're competing in versus what you grew up with when you were in high school?
Yeah, I think the media plays a huge role. I think ESPN started to become popular when I was in high school, channels like ESPN. But now a lot of kids really feel the pressure of being spectacular. And it seems like amateur sports have lost the desire from society's point of view to be, or they've lost sight of the mundane. And the mundane is where sports can really be fun. The nuances of going to practice and really studying your playbook and engaging in the team aspects of sports. Kids feel like they have to make, you know, the one hand catches, or they have to be on a highlight reel every game. And it's really unrealistic. And so the pressure sometimes can be overwhelming.
Hmm. Yeah. So, I never thought about the mundane part of that, about the importance of that. Is it like, you know, with practice and study? So, how do you reengage a student on that mundane stuff?
Well, you know, right now, I guess the greatest example that I have in my personal life is I serve as the character coach for a local Texas high school. And, a lot of kids after the first day of summer camp, you know, it's hot and it's difficult. And so they want to quit. And so it's important that they learn that every role on a team matters, right? Mm-hmm. They all think that, oh, well, coach isn't acknowledging me and my ability, and so he's not immediately putting me into a starting position. But everybody plays a role, down from the trainers, the water boys, all the way up to the, you know, the all-star quarterback. Everybody has a role. And so whenever kids come to me and say, Ryan, I want to quit, man, I really dig in and ask, why do you want to quit? Mm-hmm. What's driving you to want to walk away from this sport? And then we reevaluate goals and the reason that they're there. And then I try to encourage them and stick with it. There's so much more that you're going to miss if you walk away from this than just wins and losses, than just standing on the sideline or being in a game on Friday night.
So with that, you know, what are some of the unique challenges that student athletes face today?
I think that a lot of kids, there's a few lies that I think kids buy into. And, you know, you hate to point at parents, but I think adults in general are responsible for allowing these kids to engage in these lies. And just a few are, you can be anything that you want to be. You know, I think adults nowadays are doing a poor job of telling kids, hey, listen, you can do whatever you put your mind to and your heart to, but you have a set of gifts and talents. Hmm. And being honest about those gifts and talents, I'm 6'6", 300 pounds. I can want to play running back all day, but the truth is I'm an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And someone told me that a long time ago. Another thing, kids believe that they're special. You know, a lot of parents tell their kids, hey, you're super special, you're unique, and kids are unique, but not every kid is better than, and when kids hear these things, they believe that they're better than other kids. Mm-hmm. And that they're special. You're special, you're unique, but man, every kid has special and unique qualities. And mm-hmm. so, and then the final thing is, you know, you're a winner just because you participate. Mm-hmm. And that mentality is really killing the life lessons and the things that kids can achieve through sports, or they can learn through sports, is that, man, you got to go out and work for what you want to achieve in this world. You got to mm-hmm. earn what you get. And I think it's completely healthy for a child not to be told, hey, you're good enough just because you showed up. You deserve a medal, you know?
So I love those things that you pointed out. And you're talking about some things that adults add to that might be negative, those perceptions. So what can teachers and coaches do that will benefit? Like, what do those student athletes need from their teachers and coaches to make them better?
Yeah, I think I touched on it a little bit ago, and it's just telling kids the truth. You know, my son, my middle son, is extremely gifted and athletic, and he is our little football player, baseball player. He could play probably any sport. My daughter has a size to play volleyball, but my youngest son, he's our little, you know, he's our bookworm, he's our brainiac. The kid will read a book every 2 days, and he's a good swimmer, but he thinks because dad played professional sports that he needs to play sports to gain dad's approval. And I'm like, man, I love you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. You're not inclined to play. You don't have to play football. I don't want to see you play football because the chances are you might get hurt just because you don't have the physical abilities to actually be on the football field at a highly competitive level. And, you know, I think if more parents and adult mentors were honest with kids and told them the truth, I think we could avoid some of those issues. Mm.
Well, I love some of the themes that you're bringing out here, just about, you know, sports, you know, teaching us about life. You know, I'm always been fascinated with baseball. Mm-hmm. It's a sport of failure, mm-hmm. you know, and that, you know, a 300 hitter can, you know, that's where you make your money. Yeah. You know, you fail 70% of the time, yeah. You know, and love so I love that. I love that idea. So specifically, what, you know, along those lines, what are some of the benefits for a student participating in athletics?
Again, you know, you have the engagement and social contracts. I love that aspect. They learn in those social contracts sacrifice. You know, sacrifice. Today, we were running what's called a conditioning test. So the kids, after practice, when it was probably the hottest point of the morning, had to run 1600s. Well, the quarterback passed the test Monday. The kids who didn't pass it failed. And our quarterback was out there running with our big guys like me. And that really touched my heart that he would step up and run the test again with the guys that we would be blocking for him. And it says, man, I love you. I want to be engaged with you. I'm your teammate. Not only do I want to encourage you from the sideline, but I want to be out there working hard with you. And it's a tough test. And so you get things like servant leadership, sacrifice, accountability. There's so many different things that young people get from sports.
Talk a little bit more about social contracts. Mm-hmm. Just more specifically, what you know, when you say that, what does that mean in the context of athletics?
Well, you tell me, how deep do you want me to go with that?
Oh, just go for it, man. You're good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, you know, I grew up in a unique situation. Not especially in our world, but my mom and dad never married. And so I essentially grew up with a single parent. And I never really understood how to be a husband. And so here I am. I'm married in my junior year of college. And really didn't know how to function as a husband, as a father. Nobody showed me these things. But my college coach did a tremendous job. Bill Snyder at Kansas State University, Hall of Fame coach, did a tremendous job of sort of putting this tool belt on me. And Bill gave me the tools throughout my 4.5 years that I was at Kansas State playing football with him and being mentored by him. And so then when I was mentored to actually be a husband, I looked down at this tool belt that Coach Snyder had given me, and I was like, oh, so this is a screwdriver. I use this to screw a screw as opposed to trying to screw a screw with a hammer. And I was equipped and ready to take on that responsibility to be a husband. So the transformation was quick. Mm-hmm. But without football, without Coach Snyder being in my life and playing football at Kansas State, I'm not sure if I would have learned how to be a godly husband that quickly.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Kind of going the opposite way, if we've been talking a lot about the benefits, what are some of the downfalls that you could see a student athlete falling into?
And nowadays, again, it's spectacular over mundane, over the mundane. And I fell into that a little bit, the idolization of sports. You know, you get to a level where you excel at a sport. And our society, man, we love to worship our athletes. And so it's a dangerous part of the world of sports, that if anybody's good enough or if anybody appears to be somewhat of a superstar, people automatically put them on the pedestal. And we're flesh, you know, we're created with this nature that loves that type of attention. And so then all of a sudden we perceive to be this heroic type of person. And all of a sudden, when you leave the sport, and you no longer play the sport, and nobody's there to idolize you, then you're left with a lot of men and women lacking identity and understanding of who they truly are and who they were created to be in this world outside of the game that they played.
Yeah. So, you know, part of my background, I was, before I did this nonprofit stuff, I was a athletic trainer for a while. But I never really played competitive sports. But one of the things that I noticed whenever I was an athletic trainer was just how much time was poured into being a student athlete, and especially as you're rising up into the college level, it's a job. Yeah, and so, but I was always fascinated. Like, how do student athletes, coaches, how do they create margin in their lives for other things? You know, where it's not, you know, it's not just all about football, but there's other things like church and family and community and school.
Yeah,
obviously, how does the student athlete create that space?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's a good question. I think coaches have to be intentional, and coaches need to do a better job of training athletes to be intentional. You know, we, as part of my job as a character coach, and it's really a team chaplain, but part of my job as a chaplain is to create those opportunities within the busyness of the sports schedule to host a Bible study for coaches, to host a Bible study for athletes. We do chapel services. And I think the church has really done a great job over the past few years of you know, creating like the Saturday service, you know, for guys that might play on Sunday or multiple services for people to engage within their schedule, to still engage and be in community with the church, regardless of what they do on the weekends. And coaches just have to be intentional in encouraging athletes to follow through and keep their faith at the top of their priority list.
So what would you say to parents along those same lines about trying to create some space and margin for their kids to, you know, not, it's not just all about sports, but it's also about things in life. So, I mean, what would you say to a parent who's like, my kid is just consumed with this, you know, how could I help them the best to... Yeah.
It's a tough road to walk. My son for many years played competitive baseball. So you're talking about tournaments that mm-hmm. would go all weekend long. And, you know, it was tough sometimes to find time to go to church, but we would take him to church in his dirty baseball uniform if we had to on a Saturday night, knowing that we might wake up Sunday to play another game. And, you know, it was tough sometimes. I battled and struggled as a believer, but also a parent. You know, am I doing the right thing? But I felt that the commitment to the sport was probably just as important in his young life and to his team as our commitment to making sure that he stayed connected to the church. And so mm-hmm. we would work around the baseball schedule, but we made sure that we got the church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm curious about your opinion too on how school plays into the student athlete part. I know, especially in college, I had classes with guys who were there to play sports, never showed up to class. Yeah. So what would your advice be to a student athlete who is putting so much stock in the athletics that they're not really sure where school fits in?
You know, I would say on the college level, I would say that that coach probably did a poor job. Mm-hmm. Coach Snyder made sure that we were in class. Now, I know basketball and some of the winter sports that play during the week and don't play on weekends, they can't help but miss class. And so they mm-hmm. have tutors and things like that. And that may have been the situation with those athletes. I'm not sure which athletes you engaged or you had classes with. But on the high school level, you know, as adults and, again, as parents, our coaches do a great job of helping kids understand, listen, you've got so many waking hours during the day. And I sit down with my son every 3 months and we set aside a plan. You've got this much time to dedicate to football practice and workouts. You've got this much time in the evening to dedicate to doing your homework, having dinner. And then you've got an hour, 2 hours of free time to engage in social media, video games, whatever you want to do. And I really, I try to encourage parents, and I do it myself, but just to set a schedule, be intentional about your child's time, and make sure that they can, you know, engage in as an athlete, as a student, but also be a kid.
I love that, because I struggle, you know, with trying to keep it all together, you know, and I think just, you know, from a young age instilling, you know, there's a time for everything,
yeah,
but one thing can't be everything,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
I love that.
You know, we live in a culture where we think, you know, more is better. And a lot of times, you know, especially in the high school competitive sports that we have here in Texas, I've seen a lot of kids in baseball throw out an elbow. They're having injuries that professional baseball players have because their parents allow them to throw and pitch year round. You're seeing athletes tear knee ligaments because there's such wear and tear on their body because they play football year round. Mm-hmm. And man, if I could give parents any word of advice, that would be just give your kid a break. Mm-hmm. Let them have an off season. We take time where I'll intentionally tell my son, you are not working out. You're not going to engage in football. I want you to go and visit your grandparents in Kansas and just get away from it all. Take a week off. Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I really try to be intentional about allowing his body and his mind to just step away from the game, whatever sport he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, along those lines, you know, is there a time where it's unhealthy for a student to participate in athletics?
You know, outside of medical reasons, I don't believe that there's really an unhealthy time for a child to be engaged in that type of social development. A lot of studies show that kids need two things in life when they're especially in their adolescence and as they head into adulthood, and that is be a part of some sort of activity, extracurricular activity, and also be exposed to mentors outside of their parents. And so if it's sports, band, whatever it is, we encourage all of our kids to be engaged in something outside of just coming home and you know, wanting to be on your phone and video games. Let's do something outside of yourself where you have to engage with people.
Well, and athletics really, you know, knocks both of those out of mm-hmm. being engaged in something outside and also being involved with adults who care about you and mentors as well.
I'm curious. I'm going a little bit off script here. But what would your advice be as a character coach to coaches and the impact that they can have on student athletes to take advantage of that time and that influence that you have in a student's life?
Yeah, I think it's important that coaches understand their why. And I talk to them about it all the time. Why do you coach? Are you here because you love the game? Are you here because it's a paycheck? Are you here because you absolutely love mentoring young people and pouring into their lives? And more times than not, especially at the high school level, coaches are there. They don't get paid a ton of money, but a lot of those coaches are there because they love being engaged with young people. Mm-hmm. And so then once you got your why down, then next you need to know your how. And how do you go about it? Are you transactional or are you transformational? And so if you're transactional, when you approach your athletes, it's what can you do for me and what can you provide me as a coach so that I can be successful? But transformational, and that's what we encourage coaches to be, is you're actually invested in your athletes. You get to know them at a heart level. You connect with them. You don't have to solve their problems, but you at least need to show some sort of empathy to what kids are going on or what's going on in your athletes' lives. And a lot of kids deal with a lot of stuff these mm-hmm. days. It's a very difficult world. I mean, you guys exist in it, so you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, we try to encourage that coach, man, you got to be transformational, because we've seen more success from a transformational coach than we have from a transactional coach. Hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, what, in your opinion, what does a successful student athlete look like?
Well, I think it's somebody that's capturing the picture. Well, first, just with self, they have some sense of personal identity. Again, they know their gifts and talents. You know, again, we don't have the offensive lineman that wants to be the quarterback or the receiver. There's no way that's happening. You can't run. You don't move well enough. And so they know themselves as an athlete. They know themselves personally. I mean, there's some sort of self-esteem there that when things fall apart, an injury, anything could happen. You don't fall apart. This is not who you are. You are not, you know, Joe, the football player. You are Joe, created in God's image. And then second, they know they have realistic goals. Realistic goals. You know, every kid wants to go and play in college. When statistics show, let's just use football, only about 3% of high school athletes go on to play college football.
Wow.
And you can step out with our team today, and I guarantee you 90% of those kids will raise their hand, hey, I want to play. And we're talking over 100 kids, and realistically, they just won't. Mm-hmm. It's not a realistic goal. And so, there's this sense of servant leadership. Like, they're being pushed towards being servant leaders. Doesn't mean they have to be vocal. Doesn't mean they have to be, you know, the best kid on the team, but they're just willing to step out, and they have this, this model where they're encouraged to serve other people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ryan, at the end of each of our podcasts, we ask our guests two final questions. Mm-hmm. And so the first one is, what is one thing that you want a student athlete to hear from our conversation today? What's one thing you really want to drive home?
You know, I failed to mention this during the conversation, but I think have fun. Right. Mm-hmm. High school sports don't last forever. Just enjoy every aspect, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, the success, the failures. I think you said it best, you know, that you talk about batting averages 70% of the time that baseball players, a guy that's a Hall of Fame hitter is up at the plate. He's failing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a successful season. And I love that. I guess the connectivity there with the game of baseball and what we get from sports. But also be honest and assessing your gifts and talents. Again, realistic goals. I sit down with so many kids who have unrealistic goals, and depression sets in, and sometimes thoughts of suicide because they had this grand vision of themselves as this superstar athlete, and then when it doesn't pan out, you know, their world falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finally, what's one thing that you would want a coach or teacher, pastor, mentor of a student athlete to hear from you today?
Yeah, I guess, again, know your why. Know your why and your how. Your why is so much more important than your X's and O's. And then how you go about it. And, you know, in public schools, I use the verbiage of transformational and transactional. But really, either you're coaching in the model of Jesus Christ or you're not. And I think coaches need to be aware. I cross a lot of coaches that are even of no faith at all, or Muslim coaches, you name it, and they've got to have some sort of transformational desire within them, especially with today's athletes, to engage into that athlete's life and really make a difference.
The academics at LCU, they're very strenuous, but they're worthwhile.
I would honestly say that the academics are top-notch. Being in small classrooms and getting to have those personal relationships with your professors really enhances the academic environment and academic experience. It's very easy to learn when you have professors who genuinely know you and genuinely care about your growth intellectually.
Believe, belong, be blue at Lubbock Christian University.
Well, Chris, I thought that was an awesome interview, and mm-hmm. I got a lot of great things from it. It took me back to my high school days, where I think we'd both say we had some ups and downs.
Yes.
With our athletic experience. I definitely loved being a part of a team. I played basketball in high school, but I vividly remember a conversation I had with my parents coming home in tears because I didn't think I was getting the playing time or wasn't being treated fairly by my coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the conversation me and my dad had where he asked why I was placing my identity in this sport, in this coach,
mm-hmm.
who wasn't going to impact the rest of my life.
Right.
He was like, do you want to play basketball in college? Well, no. And so why was I putting all of my identity in here? And I think Ryan talks a lot about that, about us kind of making sports an idol.
Right.
And putting everything, wrapping everything into that. So if there's an injury, if there's an unfair coach, it completely rocks your world. And so I loved what he had to say about that, and kind of making balance as well with sports.
You know, my experience with sports, I was an athletic trainer before I got into nonprofit work and youth ministry. And I got to see the locker room and the sidelines of small town football America in Texas, of all places. And, you know, it is idealized for sure, and Friday Night Lights and all the different ways that sports are. But I got to see kind of the difficult side where, you know, these student athletes are giving every second of their time and coaches putting very unrealistic expectations. I didn't see a lot of health whenever I was in those situations. And so that's what's always colored athletics for me. My wife had a totally different experience. She had this great athletic experience. And so I think it depends on where you look and where you go. But when it comes to expectations, I saw what an unhealthy expectation could lead to. Right. A lot of these athletes thought that they were going to go play big time college schools. And I saw some of them that, you know, thought they were on that track and hurt themselves, you know, got, you know, blew out a knee or, you know, had a bad injury, and their lives fell apart mm-hmm. with that injury. It wasn't just, it took them off the football field. It took them off like their life track. And so putting all of those eggs in that basket where, as parents, they were not doing them any favors, that, you know, they weren't thinking about, you know, yeah, you got this potential collegiate career, but what else could potentially be in play? So Ryan talking about setting healthy expectations, I think as parents, that's a good thing to think about. Even if you do have a student who's incredibly gifted, that is based upon their ability to physically compete.
Right.
And that can be taken away.
Well, and I loved, he talks about rest, about mm-hmm. taking an off season. This is coming from an NFL player mm-hmm. who is saying it is okay to take a few weeks or a month or two and say, you know what, we're not going to play sport right now, and we're going to rest, and it's going to be a good thing to recharge and get ready for the next season. Your student doesn't have to play every single select sport, summer ball, spring ball, fall, mm-hmm. But they can take a break every now and then and still be kids and still compete at a highly competitive level.
Well, especially for developing bodies and minds, you know, they need rest to grow and right. to move forward. And, you know, the off season does not mean they're going to fall behind or not have or lack any opportunities. It actually might mean that they'll do better,
yeah.
you know, with that rest piece. He talks a lot about kind of knowing your why and your how, that the why of this athletic thing is so much more important than the X's and O's, mm-hmm. You know, the week in, week out. But what's the big picture? Why are we actually doing this? Is a good question to ask yourself as a family and ask your student athlete, because I, you know, if it is just to have fun, that's a why. It's like, okay, I'm here to have fun, and that kind of puts it all in perspective, where if I'm not having fun doing this and that was my goal, then I might need to evaluate this and see if this is exactly what I really need to be doing. And if it is to get, you know, a college career, to move on professionally, is that really what I want to be doing here? You know, and to count the cost of that why as well.
Right. And I think even in our Teen Lifeline groups, we see that sports and athletics are a huge motivator. Mm-hmm. For a lot of our kids, it keeps them engaged. It keeps them in community with adults of their coaches, with other peers. I've had groups where I've been on an alternative campus, and the kids are like, I'm never coming back here, and I've got to get out of this alternative campus because I'm missing my sport, mm-hmm. and I'm letting my team down because I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge motivator to change behavior and to turn things around because they have something else that they can strive for and are looking forward to.
Well, and that, I think that really gets down to the heart, is that if you can honestly say your why behind sports is I need the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, if a student can really be honest with themselves that I don't do well without that, or even more importantly, that if I'm not there because I'm in trouble, I'm in alternative school, whatever, I'm suspended, I am needed on my team, and I'm not there, and so you really do a whole lot for yourself when you know where you're needed, and that, you know, if I don't do what I need to do to be there, I'm letting people down. And so that's a huge thing as well, because when you feel like you're needed, that does a whole lot for right. your esteem and what you're about.
And I think this why question is also so important for coaches, of why are you doing this? Are you doing it to have influence and to transform? Ryan uses that language of transformational versus transactional coaching. Mm-hmm. Are you doing it to get wins? Are you doing it to please administration or to please parents? Or are you doing it because you are investing in the lives of teenagers? I think coaches have such a unique influence because they see them, They get to talk differently to students than parents or even teachers do. But they are in the nitty gritty with them. And I think there's a lot of trust that comes with being a coach, and you have a great impact. And so I definitely want you to hear us say that we're encouraging you, that you are in a great role and have the power to influence, to empower, to encourage teenagers to live differently than maybe they have been living.
Yeah. And so the organization that Ryan represents, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, has a great a piece called Character Coaching that they will train you and equip you to be a coach on a school campus where you get to kind of be there for all the different sports, be there for the coaches, be there for the staff, and kind of just be a resource for anyone who would need that on that campus. And so they do a really great work, and they can help you get on a local school campus. So check out FCA's website and look for Character Coaching, and we will also link that on our site as well.
The Don't Panic podcast is produced by Teen Lifeline and Ricky Lewis. Your hosts are Chris Roby and Carly Duke. The intro music you heard today comes from Under the Chandeliers. You can find them on SoundCloud or Spotify, so go take a listen. If you want to check out today's notes and resources, visit our website, don'tpanicpodcast.org. Or you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Don't Panic Talk. Thanks for listening, and remember, don't panic. You've got this.